the coil is useless. Who did this? Harry asked himself. Can Monk fix it before we get near North Korea? And if he does, what will the saboteur try next? Santa Monica Airport. The place was a madhouse. Sylvia had decided to avoid LAX and take a commuter jet to San Francisco, but the usually quiet airport in Santa Monica was teeming with angry, yelling, ticket-waving customers. One look at the electronic status board showed Sylvia that half the scheduled flights had been canceled. Most of the others were badly delayed. Her daughters seemed unimpressed by the furor boiling all around them as Sylvia left them in front of the status board to fight her way to the ticket counter. "Don't move from this spot," Sylvia commanded. Both girls nodded dutifully. "And watch my bag."
"Sure."
As their mother plunged into the crowd, Vicky said, "Must be a lot of people trying to get to San Francisco today."
"Or someplace," Denise agreed.
"The place looks like a zoo."
"This is where they filmed Casablanca?" Denise asked her older sister.
Standing in the midst of the bellowing, surging crowd like a pair of slim palm trees in the middle of a tropical typhoon, Vicky nodded.
"The airport scene in the beginning," she said.
A harried-looking, red-faced man lugging a bulging briefcase rushed past the girls and tripped over Vicky's roll-on suitcase. He went sprawling, his briefcase popped open, papers fluttering in all directions. Vicky and Denise helped to scoop up the papers. The man stuffed them back in his briefcase, his face sweaty and angry as he muttered something about being late for the last flight to Sacramento. He dashed off, clutching the briefcase under his arm like a football.
"He never said thank you," Denise complained.
"A jerk," said Vicky.
Sylvia came out of the crowd, reached for the handle of her roll-on, and said grimly to her daughters,
"Follow me."
Through the fuming, bawling crowd they pushed, and up a flight of stairs, their roll-ons bumping with each step. Sylvia pushed through a door marked Flight Operations Director, the two girls at her heels. It was mercifully quiet inside the office. No one was there except a rake-thin, harried-looking man sitting behind a desk with a phone at his ear and both eyes staring at his desktop computer screen. He was in his shirt sleeves, which were rolled up. His tie was pulled loose from his wrinkled, soggy collar. "It's a total mess," he was saying into the phone, his voice high, agitated. "Computers are down. Phone lines are jammed. Navigation system is kaput. A real mess." Sylvia stood before his desk, her two daughters flanking her, and waited patiently until at last the man put the phone down and looked up at her. Before he could speak a word, Sylvia said sweetly,
"Congresswoman McClintock is waiting for us in San Francisco. If we don't get there to be with the president this evening, there's going to be a lot of trouble."
"Congresswoman McClintock?
We're due to be with the President of the United States this evening at the Cow Palace," Sylvia said, in a tone that you could pour over pancakes.
"The President?"
"The President," said Sylvia sweetly.
"And Congresswoman McClintock. And the Chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, among others."
The man groaned, but then said, "Wait right here. I'll see what can be done." Sylvia gestured for her daughters to take the two wooden chairs in front of the desk. She herself remained standing while the badly stressed director of flight operations picked up his telephone again. Able 1, cockpit. Kamchatka Peninsula coming up. Colonel Christopher heard her navigate.